are Locked On Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Friday, November 9th. And looking ahead to what could be, optimistically possibly, a 2-0 weekend for the Detroit Pistons. This is your boy Matt Shook, a sports writer here in the Motor City, covering the NBA for the Associated Press and the Detroit News. Pistons fan and follower my whole life, and a sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. Thank you for the listen. What's up to all the new listeners out there this season? And do your part, help out the podcast, and spread the word to the Pistons fans in your life as well. Today we're going to be talking about the games this weekend against the Atlanta Hawks and the Charlotte Hornets, some Southern teams, one of them hosting the Pistons on Friday night, the other coming to town here on Sunday afternoon. And since we got a red letter team in town this weekend with the Hornets, so we've got a guest to come out and talk about them, the red letter teams being the ones that I expect the Pistons to contend with for some of those last couple playoff spots in the Eastern Conference this year. And turns out, one of my best buds lives in Charlotte and covers the Hornets for WCNC, among other sports, down there in North Carolina, the NBC affiliate there. Nick Carboni will be joining us on the show. Thanks to Nick for taking the time. Go ahead and give me a follow on Twitter, by the way, at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also, check out the Locked On Pistons Twitter account and give us a like on the Facebook page at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. But the Pistons playing in Atlanta tonight, so we'll start with them, 3-8. As expected, another tough start to the season for the Hawks, coming into this game as losers of 6 of 7, a 7 o'clock game in Atlanta tonight. Still a team in tank mode, brought over Lloyd Pierce as coach from Brett Brown's bench in Philadelphia. He's taken over there. Trae Young, he already had a 35-point, 11-assist game this season for the Hawks, but he's getting 18-8 assists right now per game, 27% on his 6.5 three-point attempts per game, but those will fall someday for the score, maybe even this year, maybe even soon. Rookie-wise, also, Amari Spellman was a late first-round pick out of Villanova for them. Michigan fans know him well. He's been playing well for the Hawks, too. He had an 18-10 the other night for Coach Lloyd Pierce. Vince Carter is on Atlanta, so don't freak out when you see him on the court. That's the same Vince Carter. Get them checks, Vince. Congratulations on that. Jeremy Lin is also on the Hawks now. So a much more fun and interesting team than last year. That was one of those tough watches last season for Pistons fans. You can only watch Dennis Schroeder and Kent Bazemore and Torian Prince so much before you turn the TV off, to be quite frank, but they might be better than absolutely terrible when John Collins comes back and gets back into the groove from his left ankle injury. He has not played yet this season. Second-year man out of Wake Forest that I've been pretty high on over these last couple of years. He's been pretty much ruled out for tonight's game against the Pistons. Not officially, but it sounds like they're targeting more sometime in this four-game road trip that starts on Sunday out in L.A. against the Lakers. But, you know, maybe he could surprise and play tonight at home before the road trip. We will see. Certainly, if he does play, you would expect limited minutes from John Collins tonight if he makes his season debut. Atlanta, as far as changes in philosophy since Mike Budenholzer left and Lloyd Pierce took over, this is a middle-of-the-pack team in three-pointers attempted, so it's not like they're going for the modern NBA full bore. They do have Travis Schelke, who came over from the Golden State Warriors front office, and they drafted Trae Young and drafted Kevin Huerter from Maryland as well. So a couple of three-point shooters that you can anticipate that someday down the road they will possibly be trying to throw up and chuck all those threes. I think they remember some jokes from draft night about those guys being the new Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, and not a poor man's version, not a homeless man's version, whatever the next version, comatose version of Steph Curry and Klay Thompson are, maybe. So we'll see if that comes true. Herter's been playing a little bit this season, but 17 minutes or something like that, so not a factor right now as a rookie. This is not a good team. There is no designs about that. A young team that could possibly get hot, and it's tough to win on the road in the NBA, all those cliches, all that good stuff. But the Pistons, 5-point favorites on the road tonight in the Dirty South. And just briefly on Charlotte, as we'll get into them much more with Nick Carboni when he's on the show up next, the Pistons hosting the Hornets for a 3:30 tip. And like I said, it's a red letter game. One of those small portion of teams that play in the Eastern Conference and are in that level with the Pistons where you expect them to be kind of near the bottom of the playoff chase or near the top of the lottery chase or just outside of the playoffs, I should say. So you know, obviously a win in any game is important, but it's a win in those games is even more important because you're giving a loss to a team that could be impactful against you late in the season. So we will see how this one goes. Pistons right now are 1-2 in such games so far this season, with the win over Brooklyn on opening night and then a loss to Brooklyn on the second half of back-to-back, and then the loss also to the Miami Heat the other night at home. So they got to even that out a little bit with the Charlotte Hornets at home, and we will see how that goes. Coach Jamie Borrego of the San Antonio Spurs has come over and taken over the team for Steve Clifford, who was there for about 5 years. And under owner Michael Jordan and general manager Mitch Kupchak, a couple of names that you might know if you're a basketball fan. Remember, after Sunday's game, just one game next week at Toronto for the Pistons on Wednesday night as they play the red-hot Toronto Raptors, and what will be a big emotional game for Dwayne Casey is his return to the scene of the crime, so to speak, after he got fired following his Coach of the Year regular season with the Raptors. So again, a lot of basketball here this weekend, but next week just one game on Wednesday and then nothing after that until I believe next Monday. So it's just a long time of not much hoops. But we're going to talk to Nick Carboni next of the NBC affiliate in Charlotte, WCNC, talking about the Hornets. But is your company looking for a new way to reach customers? Then your company could be mentioned right here, right now on Locked on Pistons. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with sponsors that they hear on their favorite podcasts. Our demographic is 98% males. What's up, fellas out there? With more education and more earning power, go keep doing it. Keep doing it. More earning power than traditional media audiences out there. Have your company sponsor Locked on Pistons? Email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, at yahoo.com to find out more about rates. Yes, that's right. Still rocking the Yahoo email address, so you know I need the money. So go ahead and get a hold of me, and we can talk about advertising here on the Locked on Pistons podcast.
Yes, sir!
And now joining us on the line, a sports anchor at WCNC in Charlotte, the NBC affiliate there, my friend and yours, television's Nick Carboni. Nick, thanks for taking the time to join us here today.
Of course. Always happy to talk a little Detroit basketball. I don't get many opportunities to do that in Charlotte. So
I don't believe that for a second, but we'll move on anyway. We have one rule here on Locked on Pistons, and that is when Kemba Walker is second in the NBA in scoring, we're going to call my buddy Nick, who was a UConn fan, and he went to, and Kemba Walker, obviously the big UConn hero there, and now with the Charlotte Hornets. What's going on with Kemba Walker so far this year?
You know, it's crazy that he's just gotten better and better every year of his career, but really it's just been accelerated the last 3 years. He kind of fixed his shot with an assistant that's no longer here, that was here with Steve Clifford, and that was about 2016. He just simply placing his hand at a different angle during his jump shot, and it made all the difference in the world in terms of his consistency. And he's gotten to the point now where he goes up for a shot and he's pretty darn confident going in. The difference this year, it's like every year it's like, well, how's it going to get better this year? I mean, there's only so much the guy can do. It's not like he's going to sit there and develop I'm going to develop like a low post game now that, you know, whatever he is listed at 6'1", but he's not 6'1". So I think this year it's been just kind of alleviating a lot of the pressure and the burden off of him in terms of what James Borrego, their new coach, is doing with the offense, some of the lineup combinations, and then Tony Parker being here. He runs the second unit. He runs it really well. He's still really efficient so far this season at 36 years old, coming off an injury. But they put him out there with Kemba a lot, and I think Kemba really likes that, and that's shown. He's played really well off the ball. And he's gotten to be so consistent and so confident as a scorer now that, he's obviously, like you said, second in scoring right now and one of the best 3-point shooters in the league.
And another great thing for the organization the last few years is how a cheap of a contract that he was. He re-signed before the big boom in 2016 summer, where guys like John Lue, the Pistons, signed for $41 million. But now Kemba looking at, I believe he's an unrestricted free agent coming into this summer. And there was all the trade talk last year when it appeared that Charlotte was going to be, you know, out of the playoff hunt. Do you see any of that creeping up? I know that it's too early to maybe be selling.
Right.
But do you see that this is a situation where maybe he does get dealt if things take a little bit of a downturn for Charlotte this year?
Yeah, and certainly you would think that last year, you know, especially around that trade deadline, there was a lot of talk about him going to the Cavs, and you know, could the Cavs get him and sway LeBron to stay? That was probably when his value is going to be the highest, right? Because you know now he's going to be at least halfway through his walk season if he's traded this year. So I think you know Mitch Kupchak was brought in here under Michael Jordan with the directive of, listen, nobody's off limits, but you got to get a major haul for this guy. He is our franchise. He's the best thing we've had in years here. He's if we can somehow get pieces around him, he could lead us to some sort of success. And with Charlotte basketball, you know, over the years, that means winning a playoff series would just be huge for this franchise at this point. And Kemba Walker, for, you know, to his credit, has said a lot of stuff. I don't think a lot of athletes in a lot of pro sports or in the NBA would say in his position. I mean, he's just made it pretty clear that he wants to be here. I mean, he's going to get paid regardless. I don't think he's really taken much leverage off the table by saying those things. He makes $12 million a year now. He's right in the middle of the pack when it comes to the highest paid Hornets, which is kind of funny to think about. And you know, when you bring up that boom in 16 with all the TV money coming in and the contracts, that's a sore subject with Hornets fans because Kemba hit his before that, and he needed to, and Nick Batum hit his right on that year, and he's just not the player you want for $125 million. He's a decent player. He's a decent player around Kemba, but he's not consistent enough, and the Hornets just need somebody to help Kemba Walker do the scoring, and they just haven't had that.
And yeah, you mentioned Batum. Every team in the league has a 2016.
Yeah.
Unfortunately for the Hornets, it was one of those big nine-figure deals that they handed out. I love that you can just casually mention as Michael Jordan.
Yeah, MJ is he's around. Sometimes he you catch him in the elevator on the way to a game, and you know, it's definitely a moment where you get starstruck. That's for sure. He's at most of the games. He gets to host the All-Star game this year, so I guess that's good for him. But, you know, he's not untouchable in this town. A lot of people are kind of weary of, you know, this guy's owned the team for how long now and what's really happened. Have they gone anywhere? Are they moving forward? And, you know, the draft picks, especially in lottery picks, except for Kemba Walker, we'll see what happens with the last two here with Malik Monk and Miles Bridges, have not panned out to what you would expect those picks to be. But I'm not going to be the guy to write a scathing column about Michael Jordan in this town. I'll let somebody else do that. But yeah, it's fun. It's interesting. And you know, he's done a lot for the community. And I think people would just like to see the basketball team under Michael Jordan get to where they thought it would be when he got the team.
Yeah, and now that we've gotten, you know, we're well past, people that are our age remember when they didn't have a team in Charlotte, and I'm sure the first few years of the Alonzo Mourning era, and even some bad years there, obviously from there to now. But now they're old enough of a team where there's expectations. Now it's time to start advancing in the playoffs, getting to the playoffs consistently, and things like that. But along those lines, Nick, you mentioned new coach James Borrego. What's the obvious differences from him this year after the Steve Clifford era for about five years or so, I think, that he was there?
Yeah, and Steve Clifford, I mean, he was one of the, you know, you talk about a franchise that's young and hasn't had a ton of success, but when you look at it, Steve Clifford was one of the most successful coaches in franchise history. He led a couple of playoff runs. Wins-wise, he's right up there, one or two, you know, and his calling card was defense, and he was very stingy about the defense and not switching. So I think defensively, if we're starting there, James Borrego wants his guys to switch constantly. There's a lot more switching than they're used to. And this is a group that's been together for a handful of years now, so they've had to get used to that as opposed to Clifford style. Offensively, that's where, you know, obviously the casual fan's going to notice it more. It's more free-flowing. I mean, Borrego's a Spurs guy. He wants this team to play more like the Spurs, the Warriors, the Rockets, obviously within reason with the level of talent that they have or don't have here. But their offensive numbers through 10 or 11 games so far have been pretty surprising. They entered the week second in offensive rating and points per 100 possessions, only to the Warriors. Does that mean they're gonna be up there with teams like that when it all comes down to it? No, but they've shared the ball well, they've moved the ball well, they've shot the ball better, they've shot the ball more, and they've shot the three more, which obviously in today's NBA is how you need to be competitive night in, night out.
Yeah, and you mentioned a first-year coach, a free-flowing offense that's a little bit of a transition from the old coach, defensive principles that are changing. It sounds a lot like the Detroit Pistons in a lot of ways. And really, when you look at these teams, the last couple years and really what I believe this season as well, it's two teams that are going to be competing for those last two or maybe even first two spots outside of the Eastern Conference playoff hunt. So really, teams that they're going to be eyeing each other all season long in the standings. Got a lot of angst here from Pistons fans that want to maybe do a teardown kind of going forward. Do you get that in Charlotte too, that fans want to maybe tear it down a little bit and start fresh?
Absolutely, and that's kind of the rift that, you know, as much as Kemba Walker is universally loved in this town, is there's a lot of fans, good, smart fans, and I get it, that would have loved to see him traded, would still love to see him traded, to see what you can get for him, and to stop kind of spinning your wheels every year and competing for that seventh and eighth spot, which is what this team has had as its ceiling for, you know, years now. At its best, that's what they've been. So, and now they're seeing, you know, some optimism with the two most recent lottery picks in Miles Bridges from this year and Malik Monk from last year, and a lot of fans would love to see this team built around those two guys. And as much as they love Kemba, think, you know, listen, this is just, it's not going to get us to where we would like to go. So that's definitely a big point of contention here.
And what about Miles Bridges, Michigan State guy down there? Obviously, a lot of the listeners here will be interested in his career. Seen some, a couple of good highlights from him early on this year, but what's the full picture look like so far?
Yeah, and talking to James Borrego this week about, you know, where he expects Bridges to be, where he is right now. He's earning his minutes and his ways on the floor, you know, as you hear all the time with rookies, with defense, with what Borrego wants him to do, to defend multiple positions, to be able to switch all the time, to be able to be kind of a step ahead of what the offense is about to do. Because if you're not in the NBA, as rookies oftentimes aren't, you're going to be behind the play. I think, and Borrego said this week that Bridges is kind of up and down with that. I think Borrego would love Miles Bridges to grab the starting probably four spot from Marvin Williams, who's a pretty good shooter, but he's the quarterback of the defense. So Bridges kind of got a long way to go to do that. But, I mean, he's exciting. I mean, he's thrown down some ridiculous dunks. He had one against the Hawks Tuesday. If folks haven't seen it, go check it out. He missed the three, got the ball back, and absolutely threw down a vicious one-hander. A lot of push for him to be in the dunk contest when the NBA All-Star game is here. He shot the ball pretty well, too, and, you know, he's put the ball on the deck and gone after the rim, which I think is one thing he does need to do more of, and that was kind of the big challenge for him coming in. Was to be able to do that in the NBA. But I think he's got a lot of potential, and there's a lot more excitement around him and Malik Monk, last year's lottery pick, than there are around, you know, the handful of other lottery picks that they've had the last few years, like Cody Zeller and Frank Kaminsky, who's basically a DNP at this point every night.
Well, it's crazy. You throw out all these names and remember that they're on the Hornets, but all these guys are like college basketball stars. It seems like,
yeah,
it's that roster is constructed of just guys who were very productive college basketball players. It's like a March Madness team out there.
Yeah. And that's been the knock on Jordan with these lottery picks, because, you know, no matter who the GM is, you're there on draft night. He's one of the first guys to walk out of the room. So he's involved and he's, you know, signing off on all these. So yeah, Cody Zeller, great college career. Frank Kaminsky, amazing college career. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, who's a second overall pick. And thankfully, Borrego has kind of found where his niche is. He's playing him at the five a lot. He's been a lot more efficient offensively. He's always been good defensively. But you remember some of these guys and where they were picked and what they've, you know, really provided is not all that great. Kemba Walker, obviously, has turned himself into, you know, probably an elite player at this point. You know, the second best one behind him is Cody Zeller, who's a decently athletic 7-footer that plays well with Kemba off the pick and roll and can run, you know, rim run. But, you know, that's about all you're getting out of him. So it's been a tough run, but I think, you know, we'll see how they develop, that Bridges and Monk should be all right.
Well, television's Nick Carboni, thanks for taking the time. We'll see how it unfolds Sunday afternoon here in Detroit between the Hornets and the Pistons. But enjoy the second half of Panthers-Steelers, and we will talk to you down the road.
All right, Matt. Look forward to it.
And thanks again to Nick Carboni of WCNC. Give him a follow, by the way, on Twitter at Nick Carboni, which is CarboniWCNC over in Charlotte. A good follow for all the NFL stuff from the Carolina Panthers. A Red Sox fan, so he's always following baseball really closely as well, and one of my good friends from the Springfield, Missouri days. He was at the CBS affiliate in Springfield while I was working with the news leader. And then our other buddy, Chris Baznett, who's up at the Lincoln, Nebraska at the Journal Star covering the Cornhuskers. We were kind of the three musketeers in Springfield, Missouri. Watched all the Super Bowls with those guys and went out and painted the town red and whatnot. But appreciate having Nick on the show. And hopefully I can get down to Charlotte and see the Hornets possibly take on the Pistons. Maybe later on this season, and we'll see if we can make that happen, or at least check out the Charlotte Hornets against somebody in the NBA, and we'll check out the fine city, the Queen City, I believe is what they call it down in Charlotte. Been there once myself, and a good time if you're looking for a nice climate possibly this winter as well. But that'll do it for our show. Enjoy the games this weekend, everyone. Give me a follow on Twitter at @Matt_Shook, @SCHOCH, another underscore after that. Also, the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed. And check us out on Facebook at Locked On Pistons-MattShook. And give us a rating and review on iTunes while you're at it, while you're being so generous as a great fan of the show. But enjoy the games this weekend, Friday night in Atlanta, Sunday against the Charlotte Hornets. We'll be back on Monday to talk all about those and tell you what you need to be worrying about as a Pistons fan with only one game. Next week, we'll fill some airtime here on the podcast with some different type of stuff, some interviews as well. So have a great weekend, everyone, and thanks for listening.